The Rush Hour with Jars and Louie for the Bridgeway Hotel with a huge 7 metre screen you'll never want to leave. Make your way to the Bridgeway.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Triple M Rush Hour. Hope you've had a wonderful weekend, a great day today. Obviously, a little bit chilly out there, but I want to say a big chilly hello to our very dear friend, Bernie Vince. G'day, Bern. You look fantastic. Welcome.
G'day, Jars. Thanks for the pump up. A chilly welcome. I don't know if that's a good one or a bad one, but great to be here. Big weekend of sport, yes, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was. Australian Opens and Strikers went down, which...
Don't go there, sister.
Copped a barrage of texts from you when they started... Well, they needed, what was it, 36
well,
off 30
Not many. Alex Carey, our dear friend, happy. Ran himself out. That's for another day.
Another day. But yeah, and then we had the big game yesterday, the T20 bushfire game. What a success that was. That was brilliant.
Proud of the state, proud of the players, proud of the sponsors, proud of the fans.
It's just, I don't think that would work like it did yesterday. Yep. And we were both at the game calling the game in any other state.
No,
and
totally
I seriously I mean that. I'm not just saying it because we're from Adelaide. That would not work anywhere else.
Not at all.
Because the South Australian family are that passionate about their sport.
Yep.
And don't they get behind something? When others are down, they just lift them back up. And great support yesterday to raise $1 million. Mm. Can you believe that?
No, I can. Believe that.
Yeah, well,
I'm not surprised.
Well done.
Hey, Bern, obviously the Super Bowl, number 54. I think it's one of the greatest ever comebacks in world sport. And
there's a bigger one.
I'm throwing it out there. If you didn't see it or hear it, this is what happened.
There's Williams, and there it is. Kansas City will start celebrating.
Thank you, Kansas City. We did it, baby.
I think
that's their second
the Patriots.
That's their second Super Bowl win in 50 years.
Yeah,
50
unbelievable.
50 years.
50. That's a long time.
St Kilda right up there.
Yeah, Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Yeah, they're up there too. But 50 years. Wow, no wonder they were going off.
31-20 at the end.
What do you think of the Super Bowl and NFL?
Oh,
go, that for another time?
It goes too long.
Too long. Too many stops, too many ads.
Yeah.
I just want to keep playing. I get up, like I like what I see, but then it stops again. Too much stoppage.
And Bern, before you get on with who's on the show for the next hour and a half, congratulations to the Adelaide Giants baseball franchise playing in the championships against the Melbourne Aces. So we had the boys in for a bit of a chat. So welcome. Well done to the lads.
Well done.
All right. Well done. At least there's some positive news regarding South Australian sporting teams.
Because you haven't been happy, have you?
Well, that's for another day. But well done to those guys. So who's on the show, big boy?
Yeah, coming up, we're going to touch on the bushfire game because there's a lot to talk about out of that game. Some highs, some lows, a bit of both from some players, which is we'll talk about a bit more. We've got your ex-coach, Malcolm Blight. Well, he didn't actually coach.
No, hang on. Get it right. He's not my coach. Malcolm's not my coach.
Well,
Graham Corns and Robert Shaw were my coach.
He was nearly your coach, but I'm going to ask him why he didn't coach you. That's what's coming up next as well. And we're going to touch on the Australian Open and maybe why Australians haven't really warmed to Djokovic. I feel like they've turned against him a little bit.
You don't like him, do you, as a person?
Well, I just, you know, early on when he used to win, he used to rip the shirt off and he's a little bit arrogant, isn't
he? His eighth title.
Or is it just a tall poppies thing?
Well,
you want to see someone new?
We'll talk about it.
We will. But that's what's coming up, Charles.
Right,
so big show.
Sean, good to see you.
Thanks, mate.
Nice to have you back.
Do you want to do a radio school plug?
You were a bit crook on Friday.
I was, yeah. I lost my voice.
A bit of black
lung.
A
little bit of black lung.
Wow, and there goes all the respect that you just sort of handed out willy-nilly at the beginning. It's Bernie and Jars. It's the Rush Hour, 104.7 Triple M. Bernie and Jars, the Rush Hour, 104.7 Triple M. Cannot wait for the chat with Malcolm Blight. That's coming up after 6 o'clock. We're going to find out about what went on behind the scenes when Jars, what's the nice way of putting this, was released from his contract. That's coming up after 6 here at Triple M.
Big golf clap for the Adelaide Crows and the Port Adelaide Football Club and obviously the public and the sponsors regarding yesterday. It was a beautiful day yesterday at the best venue in the world. Port Adelaide knocked off the Adelaide Crows in a very tight game of 14 runs in front of, 35,000 Bern.
Amazing.
Some wonderful individual performances from both sides.
Yep.
Travis Head started beautifully for Port Adelaide. He smacked a 44.
Yeah, Travis Boak. Yep,
Trav Boak. Travis Head made 43. And then the Adelaide Crows had some shining lights. Kangaroo Island girl strikers player Bridget Patterson made a beautiful 30 at the end.
She batted well.
Oh, she was
really
outstanding.
Well.
There, Blue. And look, there's highlights everywhere, Bern. Where would you like to start?
Well, we'll touch on the highlights, but I want to touch. Well, this ends in a highlight. Now, so as in the commentary box, we had a bit of a summary because we know how they play footy. We've seen them play for a long time. So each player had a bio written about them. And I think they probably wrote that themselves with reflecting on how they actually played. So one of our own, Taylor Walker, I just want to run you through what he says. As the spearhead, remember his first over, Jars, while I'm reading this.
Yeah, it was horrendous.
As the spearhead of the Crows bowling attack, Tex has been terrifying batsmen. In the local T20 comp with his right arm fast deliveries. Now, fast. I didn't see anything that reflected fast in the first over. In his five games of Prince Alfred Old Coles, he has taken 12 wickets and an incredible average of 7.5.
Some of the wording there is totally wrong.
Yeah, well,
terrifying.
I think it sounds a little bit too smart for him to write that himself, but I feel like he was there with someone when they wrote that. Now, how do we summarise his start?
Well, we need to go through it because his start was appalling for the Adelaide Crows. There was fans leaving the stadium.
He got carded in the first over, dragged. He went to field a ball with his left foot and then missed it, then his right foot, and went then fell over. And then then he got dragged off the whole ground, and we didn't think we were going to see him again. But we've got a little
some highlights
of how it went.
Okay.
Hamish Hartlett.
Oh, he's taken. Look at him. He's taken middle.
You know why he's doing that? Because he would have seen it on TV. He wouldn't know why he's doing it.
They've got two slips in.
I'd have three.
Yes. Here's the big text.
Here we go.
Hartlett will come in, bowling little offies.
Oh,
big
text.
It's Orton. It's sort of a loony high ball.
No.
Dug it out of his feet.
He's doing nothing to redeem himself so far.
It's set up there to be smashed.
In fact, they're bringing a third slip in.
three slip. I've never seen nothing like that in T20 cricket ever.
They didn't even have a mid-off. They had three slips and he missed his first four balls, all hit him in the leg. And we were just thinking, oh, no, this is not good because he had a shocking, bad day in the field. Mm. And then he actually redeemed himself, Jars, can you believe? He needed to, though.
Clarita Walker. Whoa. He just goes down on one knee. Big Texas in a massive six. That has gone way over long on. And he's getting high fives from everyone, including the Port Adelaide players.
So he's gone from zero to hero.
He hit three sixes in the end.
Yep.
I think what was best for him when he just started to shut his eyes and just hope, and he's actually started to hit a few out of the middle. But what a day, though. It was a great day. And
fantastic. Tom Cleary was very, very, very impressive with the bat for Port Adelaide. And I saw one of the best catches you'll ever see. Young whole lot of Rosie from Port Adelaide.
Yeah.
Listen to this.
Good. He's in again. This one's an off stump, and Weatherall just stands and delivers deep out to and a ripping catch.
No way!
An amazing catch taken by Rosie.
This lad is freakish.
That is incredible.
He is.
He was very good with the bat, too. He opened the batting for Port Adelaide. Yeah, he got off to an absolute flyer. He just seems like one of those kids that are just good at everything.
Yeah, he's a natural talent.
And why are you putting your hand up? He's not like you.
No, I'm not putting my hand up. I didn't put my hand up.
Oh, I thought you were saying like he's like you, but
no.
He's just talented at everything.
Bern, just quickly before we ask the family for their opinion, is this an annual event, this T20 concept, Oval, Port Adelaide and the Adelaide Crows?
I thought it could have been after the game, and then I had a little bit of a conversation with a few people, and I feel like it was supported well because of the situation and raising money for the bushfires.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone got right behind it. I feel that if it's happened every year, it would lose a little bit of what it had on Sunday.
Yeah.
So I don't think so.
That's a no for you?
That's a no. But if there's any other situation where we need to get behind something, as we mentioned on the top of the show, Adelaide get right behind it. So, and what a way to do it. You can't really get injured playing cricket. It's no risk to the players, although Murph's
you can
not
get
happy
injured playing cricket. 133353, family. And we've done a poll as well.
Yeah, so the question we're asking you is, should we do a Big Bash Crows versus Power Showdown every year around this time? So, as Bernie said, you know, there was a big cause for it this year with the bushfire and obviously raising money and raising awareness for that. Should we do it every year? Yeah, we're doing a poll at the moment. 37% of the people say absolutely loved it.
Done.
2% say no, worried about injuries.
Wow.
That might be me. Yeah. 54% say no, only a one-off.
Wow.
And 7% say only if Jars plays.
Was that not Jars and his family?
But we want your calls right now. 133353. Should this be an annual event? The Big Bash Crows versus Power Showdown. Pre-season around about, end of January, beginning of February. Best callers. We've got some tickets to the 36ers, ironically, against Cairns Taipans. 133353. Give us a call right now. That game, the Adelaide 36ers Cairns Taipans, is on this Saturday at the Adelaide Entertainment Centre. Rush Hour, Triple M, Bernie and Jars, and Malcolm Blight coming up very soon after 6 o'clock. Do you guys still get on okay?
Yeah.
Well, you never. Did you fall out after that thing that happened in '96?
No, because I didn't have a chat to him about it.
Okay.
But he
hated him.
Who?
You.
No, I didn't.
What?
No, don't put words in my mouth.
Oh.
You've got to respect what Malcolm Blight's done. And he got acknowledged as a life member of the Adelaide Crows at the season launch on Friday. Well, ask that question. I'll ask him.
When you ask Malcolm Blight questions, yes, does he answer questions with questions? Remember at the press conference, he'd always answer a question with a question.
133353, should we do the Big Bash Crows v Port Adelaide showdown every year around this time of the year? For a worthy cause, the phones are lining up and the Twitter family's going berserk. Just quickly, Sir Dave Crew Devil, I said to the missus yesterday, every year you could do to raise money for a different charity. Let's go to Samuel Powell. Don't overdo it. Once was good to raise money for those affected by the bushfires and had a great day there. So well done, Sammy boy. The big G, Nathan G, said, yeah, but less actual cricketers. Keep it to footballers only, Blue.
Yeah, I don't mind
Burn.
That. Yeah, I'm burned, actually.
I'm fatigued.
But I agree with that. I know what you mean. But then would have they finished off? Like Travis Head was, Weatherall was very good too towards the end.
Good stuff.
That got it up over 200, which is exciting, what the crowd wants. I think they injected them just in case the footballers didn't go very well. But the footballers are very, very good. So.
They were very good. Well done. Great tweet. So let's go to Mark of Victor Harbour. G'day, Mark. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Thanks, Jazz. Yes. No, of course you should have it every year. That was just as good as any T20 game, was what the players did. And Tex started off so badly, thought he was going to be a dud. And he finished off so well. Yeah, no, it should be every year, different charity. Bring it on next year.
Well, Jazz, they had 35,000 on Sunday and only about 15, I think, on Saturday night. And Travis
for the Big Bash.
And he said it just didn't seem like a final at Adelaide Oval. Nah, and I agree.
It's Cricket Australia's got some work to do there. Michelle of Para Vista. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Welcome. Yes or no?
No, I think not. I think it was such a good cause of what they did, like raising money for the fire victims. And I think that if they had it every year, it sort of lose like the specialness of the fire, the raising money of the fire relief. Yes.
Yep, I tend to agree with you.
Well said, Michelle. Prize, please, for Michelle.
Oh, are we going with the prize already?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Yeah, that was good.
36ers tickets. Cairns Taipan, Saturday. Mathematically, still can make it. Adelaide Entertainment Centre. Tickets are available at tickettech.com.
Well, we've got some more prizes. Let's go to Jamie of Ross Trevor. G'day, Jamie. Jamie. Jimmy.
Yes, you're there.
Yes, g'day, yes, Jamie. Mate. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Right, what are your thoughts?
I think you can do it every year, but like a lot of the pre-season football games, you can go to a lot of the smaller towns and stuff that have got lovely ovals these days. So, you know, you might not get your 35,000 every year, but if you can still pack out a small oval with 12, 13, 15,000, I think it'll look great.
That's a great point.
Not
Bring
bad.
It back to grassroots. Just get out to the country.
You know, watching the Port and Crows players enjoy playing together or against each other, but having fun was great to see.
Yeah, don't mind it.
No, that's great call because they do that in the Marsh Cup, it is now called, Jars.
Mm.
Go out to all the country zones, the better ovals around the place. And that way country people that don't often see AFL players down in Adelaide or any their major city could go and watch them.
Well said, Jamie. I've got some a prize there for
you. Yeah, no, we can do that. Lawrence Mooney. He's got a brand new show called Beauty. Triple M's presenting this part of the Adelaide Fringe Festival, Feb 14 to March 15 at the Royalty Theatre. That'll be an absolute beauty. You can buy your tickets from Fringe Tix. Well done, Jamie. You got those for free. And we've got Malcolm Blight coming up after 6 Uh-oh. O'clock. Blight v. Jars on the Rush Hour on 104.7 Triple M.
Yes, welcome back to the 6 to 7 o'clock hour, family. Hope you're having a lovely afternoon. I've got our young man, Bernie Vince, looking very dapper today. You had a good day today, did you, Bern?
Yeah, good day, mate. Didn't get up to too much. No. Just reacquainted with the family.
Yeah, nice. Quite. Catch up with all your buddies in Adelaide.
Yeah, it'll be, mate.
Hey, Bern, we've still got another good hour to come, and we're obviously going to catch up with the Malcolm Blight, who was inducted as a life member of the Adelaide Crows last Friday night.
Okay. Yes.
You got some curly questions for him, but I appreciate that you'll keep them to yourself at the minute. Hey, three strikers got in the BBL 09 Team of the Year. Tell me who you reckon they are.
Rashid Khan.
Tick.
Wells.
Tick. One more.
Alex Carey, probably.
No, Peter Siddle.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
So they made it into the team of the year.
That's good.
Of the year. Yep. And Marcus Stornis is in there. Josh Inglis. Matty Wade. Maxwell's captain of that side.
Mitchie
Marsh. So there's some real talent in there. And one bloke that won't get in and doesn't even deserve to get in is this bloke.
And the wickets were missed by Big Tex Walker, who fielded, and they're safely home for a single.
Well, no run in the end.
No run. They've turned back.
No, well, it went up in the air. Tex Walker made no attempt to catch it.
None for 32. Final ball of the fourth over. This to Rosie. He slaps it just wide of mid on, gets the single.
Hey.
Oh, it's a little misfield. They come back.
Oh, he's fallen
Tex
over.
Tex has fallen over twice.
Big Texan. Get him off.
Slipped the first time, then slipped the second, and the batsman comfortably threw for two.
What is going on with the big
none for 34 after four overs. Port Adelaide are on fire.
The biggest surprise of the afternoon so far, guys. Tex Walker gets a second over.
Yes.
No, didn't cop it.
He was copying
didn't
it.
Didn't he cop
but
that?
Fair enough early on. Right, he needed to cop it, but he did redeem himself, as we played before. But just had a little bit early text. Might have had a bit of a late night, Saturday night.
Beautiful.
Now, have you guys heard with Ruined It's for Breakfast, they've got this fantastic little competition called The Name Game. Have
yes,
you heard
sir.
That? Yeah, no, it's brilliant. I think $600 or $700 up for grabs at the
Ooh,
moment.
Oh, nice.
So the idea with this is, with The Name Game, they'll announce the name, a letter from the alphabet. Mm-hmm. That happens to be the first letter in your name. You call up, and then you hope that your name is the one in the envelope.
Right.
Well, the Rush Hour is going to make it easier for everyone. Mm-hmm. If you listen to the Rush Hour, you're almost going to get the name the night before. So you've got the clue there in your hot, sweaty little palms.
Okay, write this down, family. Taken main actor's name.
Like as in the movie Taken.
Taken main actor's name. And look, I'll give you an example, Burn.
Mm-hmm.
I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Good luck.
So work that out, and if that's your name, or if you know someone who's got that name, make sure that they're listening to Ruined Discs for Breakfast tomorrow. The name game, the first chance to win, 7 o'clock tomorrow. Coming up next, the Messiah, Malcolm Blight and Andrew Jarman.
And now, Jars, as we know, the other night the Adelaide Football Club had their season launch and inducted a few life members, and we have to go back a little bit, but one of my favourite coaches growing up was the one and only Malcolm Blight. Welcome to the show, Blighty.
Bernie and Andrew, how are you guys?
Good, Malcolm.
Very well,
Very
thanks.
Good.
That must be a huge honour to be finally a life member of the Adelaide Footy Club.
Yeah, look, I looked through the list and saw Chris McDermott and Tony McGuinness and Andrew Jarman at the top of the list. That was an impressive three to start with. So, it was nice to join those guys in it. I must say I was a bit surprised. I wasn't there a whole long time, 74 games to be precise, but I guess the first 52 were pretty something a bit special, weren't they?
Blighty, what's left? What's left? You've just about got everything named after you. You've got statues. You've achieved everything as a footballer.
Blighty, I want to ask you, going back to sort of your time at Adelaide, who are some of your favourite players to coach during that period?
Oh, look, I suppose when you look at photos on the wall, most of them are pretty good. But the obvious two are D. Jarman and A. McLeod. Mm. I mean, they... you know, you could put, you know, you can put a lot of other people. You know, Benny Hart I loved as well. I mean, in fact, that Simon and Tyson came really good. But those two, you know, they had magic. You know, some players just have that gift. And I think both Darren and Andrew were the two that I, you know, you just, whenever they went near the ball, something good, 99 out of 100 happened. You know, they were just great, efficient players, skillful players, smart players, and team players more than anything, which was great.
Malcolm, Gary Ablett, senior, he would be in that list, surely, as one of the great players to coach, because he played with instinct and what couldn't he do? Both-sided players, which we don't see much these days.
Yeah, no, he was a terrific player. You know, trying to categorise him is pretty hard.
Yeah,
but
it is, yeah.
He was the most explosive player I ever saw. Mm. Mate, he could hurt people, he could jump, he could kick a long way, he could turn games. You know, the original, he'll turn the game and he could kick three goals in 3 minutes in the game. You know, you're a goal in front or a goal behind, all of a sudden the whole game changes. So he was the most explosive player I'd seen.
One of the toughest, I guess, parts of being a coach is at the end of the year when you have to speak to players about maybe not getting a contract the following year. You had a bit of a – you were known for the big clean-out in 96, and our very own Andrew Newton-Jarman was part of that. Can you remember any parts of that conversation, and how did that go?
Oh, yeah, no, what actually happened – actually, John Reid did it. I was otherwise – no, it was all part of it. But, look, one of the things is – and the only way I can answer that is that – and for the three guys that get quite a lot of mentions, there were others as well. I mean, they were great players. But you know what? Somewhere down the track, like us all, either injury gets you or your time's up. And I think, you know, I've made decisions on players. People have made decisions on me. It is sadly part of the game. It is the worst part of the game as a coach or in charge or an administrator, you know, in finishing up players' careers. But at some stage or other, it will happen to us all. We all know that. Some are done better than others. I agree with that. But, yeah, there's no easy way out of it. It's the toughest part of the game.
Spot on, Malcolm. And I've obviously been lucky to coach, and I totally agree. And people always ask me, said, look, end of the day, the three of us weren't going to be the next players to win a premiership with the Adelaide Crows. We'll go... You know, we were 29, 30 years old. You had to clean it out. And you got these young lads coming through in Ricciuto and Hart and Rann and McLeod and Goodwin. They were the next premiership side. And then obviously you had a bit of class to top them up. So, you know, that's what coaches have to do. You make some good decisions and sometimes you might regret some. But end of the day, it was the right decision because you went back-to-back premiership coach.
Yeah, but as I said, I think it's – I mean – And because you're part of it, Andrew, it's not because of anything other than, I mean, you're a fantastic player. So was Tony and so was Chris. But at some stage or other, whether you had another year, maybe, maybe not. I mean, that's an assessment that you make. And, you know, and I guess the other thing is, I mean, you get paid to actually make decisions. And correct. If you don't make decisions, well, you shouldn't be there. Mm. And, you know, I sleep pretty comfortably with it, but I'm still very disappointed, of course, because, you know, I watched a lot of your footy. You know, you could really play.
Mm. No, I appreciate that, Malcolm.
No, very good. Were you surprised how quick the turnaround was coming in your first year? Surely you must have, at the time, sat back and gone, geez, that happened quick. You probably had sort of a 3 or 4 or 5 year plan, but back to back in your first 2 years, not too many people do that.
No, that's true. One of the things, in talking around the club, I mean, you set it all up. And as I said, you know, I call them sprouts. You know, these young players started to develop. And one of the things, I mean, it was a bit like when I went to Geelong. I mean, you know, they've been hovering for the last 10 years somewhere, nowhere. But if it's, you know, just something happened, you got a bit lucky, timing. Life's about timing. The older you get, the more you realise that. And walking into both those clubs and getting grand finals in your first year, you know, it was, yes, it's a bit to do with the coach, but no more, 80% still the players. 80% of the whole club revolves around players. Mm. And all the other people, and I mentioned this last night or on Friday night at the Crows launch, the other 20% of the administrators and the coaches and the fans and everybody else. But it's a player's game. It always will. I think at the moment with some of the coaches have taken a little bit away from the players. I like to see players play, to be honest.
Totally agree, and that's why we always appreciate the way you coach, because we knew when we watched your teams play, it was attacking footy and entertaining football. And can you see both these South Australian teams participating in the finals this year, Malcolm, knowing that, you know, it could be pretty tight, that top 6-7 spot?
Yeah, look, you're quite right. I'm a bit more bullish on the Crows than most. I think that some of the players gone, they're probably time is up, and they'll probably do okay somewhere else.
Yeah.
But you can just see that the whole group last year, particularly at the back end of the year, there was no spark about the whole place. And I've since spoken to a number of players, and they've said the same thing. It was just a tough place to be. So I think a new coach and a new outlook will help that. And, you know, there's some young players there that they'll get their chance. Mm. Now, yeah, they'll probably dictate, because the top six or seven players for the Crows are still pretty handy, I reckon. And similarly for Port Adelaide, we saw those kids come in, like, you know, Connor Rosie, yeah, how good. You know, he's a lovely player. He's a beautiful player. And what they need is a forward line. I was talking about it with someone today. I think their back line's good. Their midfield's quite competent. They've just got to create some more goals. Mm. Maybe a fit Charlie Dixon or Robbie Gray playing there. Maybe one of those kids plays there permanently. Port Adelaide needs some firepower up forward.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Blighty.
Thanks, Blighty.
Appreciate you coming on the show, and good luck in the future.
Good on you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, mate. There he is, one of the all-time greats, Malcolm Blight.
Triple M's Rush Hour. You can hear it live between 5:30 and 7 now, Monday to Friday, with Bernie Vince and Andrew Jarman on Triple M.
Nice work, Sean Craig Murphy, radio god of Adelaide and Australia. Now, Bernie Vince, you played cricket. We both were playing cricket on Saturday. Mm. I was playing for the Peninsula Pirates. You were off up Stansbury with your clan. And how did you go, buddy? Because obviously we had that downpour, a lot
the day
of rain.
Before. Day before, right. But it was meant to be a bit wet on Saturday too. Okay. Playing on hard wicket, Jazz. So as you know, you can play as long as it's not raining at the time.
Just get a chopper to come down and get rid of it.
Yeah, just a chopper. Where am I going to get one of them from? Mm. Anyway, we rocked up at the gate. Remember, I've driven all the way from Adelaide that morning.
Yeah,
and I've got there and no opposition, no one there.
So
we're playing
up.
The Maitland Cricket Club, but they're pretty good. Cricket club too. I think they're in the top three.
Yeah, okay.
And I think that's the furthest town north we have to travel to. So it's sort of about 40 minutes away from Stansbury. And they just thought, well, until we know we can play, we're not coming. So they didn't.
Were the cones out in the oval? Do you have the stumps up? Were you all ready to go? Do you have your whites on?
Well, I had my whites on. I'd driven from Adelaide to come. If we weren't playing, they maybe should have told me not to bother coming over. Right. But that's three times I've come over, Jars, to play. And we've had a forfeit. I've played a game. And now we've had a washout. That's the first time I reckon I've missed a game in a washout.
And you've got to qualify to play the finals.
You got to play four. So, we're at the game. And it was partly, I think, we blamed it on our coach's fault, who's Adam Pitt, who's one of our players. Pity. They rang up and Pity goes, oh, we'll leave it till 1:30, which is an hour later. I said, why would you do that? If they don't come down, we're not going to play. We're all here to play cricket.
I'm with you, Ben.
So Pity let them off. How did you go? Did you play or?
Nah, we had a washout, mate. But at least I got notified first thing in the morning.
Yeah, well,
I was ready to go. I was kitted and got me bat. Went me to my brother's house to get his cricket bat and his mitts and glove because I gave all my gear away. Looking forward to have my first hit for the year.
Well, so was I, but they reckon I'm the curse. Every time I come over to play, there's no game ends up playing.
Well,
so
this is what your father Tim said regarding his night at the pub.
Generally, what happens when it rains here, the farmers head to the Dalrymple, the local waterhole, and I've actually warned the wife that I may be a bit late because the creek could be up. There's no creek there, but don't tell her.
Sorry, I mentioned that. Well, I got taught that at a young age. The creek may be full, we can't get home.
Don't tell poor mum there's a creek. So there you go. That was his excuse.
And played up Friday night too.
And did he really?
Yeah, played right up apparently. You can sort of see he was just a bit mellow, trying to play it down. You could hear the noise in the background. The farmers are excited. The thing that farmers do when it rains over there is I get into them, they spend all their money before they've got it. They're not going to reap the rewards of that till later on. But, they have good fun. And that creek, I did get asked
now, is
in
the
pub Saturday night. There's no creek.
You can't find it.
Saturday in the pub, the boys are like, what bloody creek are you talking about? What town? Warnie, Shane Warner, our favourite, has had a bit of a crack at the Melbourne Stars, saying they're chokers. They mucked around with their team too much coming into the finals. They lost their last four in a row now. Mm. Lost the last three coming into the finals. And they've this isn't the first year they've done it. They've done it for a long period of time now, and they're known for it.
Yep.
And David Hussey, the coach of the Melbourne Stars, has responded, and this is what he had to say.
Don't forget, Shane's probably one of us as well. So he played for us in the first two BBL years, and every year in the first few years of the Big Bash, we seemed to play away in the first finals in Perth, which either went on to win the whole league or finish runners-up. So no, they're very hard to beat over in Perth. So we've played two semi-finals at the MCG now. We're 1-1, and we played one grand final at the MCG, and we've lost. So, yeah, I do take his comments on board. He's a fan, and he's probably hurting as much as what we are internally as well. So, yeah, all for Shane to give us a bit of a clip every now and then too, because he's one of the greats of the game.
Are they chokers, Jazz?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for the last the last nine seasons, their record's appalling for to win, let alone play finals. No, their culture's not good, and I totally agree with what Warnie said. And Hanscom was out of line because he was mic'd up, and didn't appreciate what Shane Warne had to say. And I think he's totally spot on. This is a very powerful franchise. Now they got some big stars playing there. They play on the MCG, right? Yep. And they can't deliver. And
they think they're the big club over in Melbourne.
They think they're the Collingwood Football Club.
Yeah, they do. Eddie McGuire's involved, I think, isn't he?
This Thursday, MCG, they take on the Sydney Thunder under Callum Ferguson, who's done a wonderful job as captain, right? Yep. So I reckon they could bundle out in straight sets again.
I'll tell you what, if they go ahead in straight sets, they're in big strife. Yep. Oh, I feel like Dave Hussey gave him an out then. He said, oh, we had to play some of our finals away. Well, you got to win finals wherever you're playing.
Players. I know you get
your best
injuries,
team in, get them sorted. Yeah. Get a lineup. They had this lineup that was winning all these games, and they decided to tinker and try things.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden they started. If Stoinis didn't get away at the top, which he has in the last few games, they've tried too many different things, and it's really backfired. Mm. But they've got another opportunity. That's the beauty of finishing on top.
Mm.
But if they lose come Thursday, look out.
Australian Open got wrapped up yesterday, the Oz Open. Jars has got some pretty definitive viewpoints on the Australian Open.
Thank you, Sean.
And Djokovic, yeah, you a fan?
Yeah, I respect what he does, yeah.
All right. We'll find out what Bernie thinks about that next. The Rush Hour on Triple M. Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie and Jars. Bernie Vince and Andrew Jarman between 5:30 and 7 on the M's.
Now, Bern, last night, Djokovic done it again, right? He's an absolute superstar. He's done it 8 times at the Australian Open. All right, he can't be beaten. He loves this court. He loves this tournament. But why can't the Australian people embrace this man? Why do they struggle to embrace him?
Well, there's a little bit of a number of things, and I touched on early in the show when we in our opener, but he's just got a little bit of an aura of arrogance about him.
There's nothing wrong with that, Byrne. You need that in world sport.
I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, Jars, The Australian public are quick to jump on things like this. And, you know, in the early days when he won, he just used to rip his shirt off.
Yeah, like Superman.
Carry on like that. Maybe they've still got those memories. You never know.
Yeah, well.
But and you know when he loses, when he's down? He did it in the final last night.
Mm.
He always seems to get the doctor over or something's not quite right with him, only when he's losing. And, I mean, he's never really losing a lot.
Ooh, hello.
But it's happened a few times, and I've picked up on that, and I reckon the Australian public have picked up on it.
You think he's not trying, I'm not going to say that he's a cheat, but...
No, I just...
How many times did he bounce the ball? He got a violation, didn't he?
Yeah, he bounces a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
He bounces the ball
You know what? He keeps winning these Australian Opens. Now, what we need is this Dominic Thiem... who will now, everyone jump on his bandwagon, the most exciting talent we've seen the last 5-7 years.
Yeah, how good was he?
But they can't crack it against the top three.
Nah, well, I guess that's why people that aren't tennis fans are saying, oh, it's sort of half boring, because we know it's either going to be one of the top three. So there's been all that debate about they need some injection of youth, someone new coming through, and how good's this bloke?
We need a new young gun, haven't we?
Unreal.
Yeah, we need
He's got a bit of swagger too. I like it. He's got the headband, and he struts around. He's got a big serve. Yeah,
he's respectful. He doesn't crack the shits. Nah. He carry on like a pork chop.
After the game too, when they asked him about the Djokovic timeouts and the medical timeouts he had, and he was very respectful, and he said, no, that's fair, he's allowed to do that. So
interesting. Now, and another question, Djokovic, should he be suspended for a month for touching the chair umpire?
You cannot touch an umpire in
anywhere
sport. Anywhere So I don't know what the...
So what's this space thing?
I said this the other day, Jazz. I said if one more tennis player touches an umpire, look out. And it's happened. The best, the winner's done it. So he needs, and I don't want this fine sort of stuff. They've got heaps of money.
Yeah, don't fine him. Suspend him for a month.
Punish him.
Yeah, make an example
of
him.
Make him swim home.
Yeah, that wasn't a good look. I didn't like that look. And because they cop a lot of abuse at best of times, these umps, don't they? They've got to clamp down. If we do that in AFL football, even in cricket, mate, you're gone.
You're done.
But in tennis, they just let it go.
Why do they let it go in tennis? Well, because, I don't get that. There's players hitting their racket.
Why don't we ask Darren Carl if we could find him?
Yeah, he can tell us why. On holiday again.
Well, no, I don't know where he's gone. But anyway, what do you think of the whole coverage by Channel 9, men's and women's? What would you rate it?
Well, it was boring. Okay. No, it was exciting. Okay. I just think I'd like to see it pulled forward, like shorter, a little bit shorter.
So you want the men's to go three sets instead of five?
Maybe, yeah. Three sets of maybe eight. Games.
Oh, hang on. Jesus, he's sounding like Jazz here.
Three sets. Why are you writing that down? What don't you get about that?
He does that. You know why he writes stuff down? Because he's trying to think of a response and he's actually using that as a delaying technique.
I think you got lost in the Stansbury Creek.
Drank too much of the water. Now, Jazz, the Kansas City Chiefs have won their second Super Bowl this morning, which is... their first for 50 years, can you believe?
Wow,
50 years they beat the San Fran 49ers, 31-20. But with 6 minutes to go, just over 6 minutes to go, the score was 10-20. Now, the Chiefs were 10. They've scored 21 points in the last 6 minutes. And it was off the back some very good quarterback work from the Chiefs. But it was a very good spectacle. It was a good finish. And the finish was, this is what the coach had to say about after how he's going to celebrate.
I'm going to go get the biggest cheeseburger you've ever seen. prime, the biggest one. And might be a double.
Yeah. Oh, he's a big boy, Andy Reid.
That was the coach. Yeah, he's a big boy. And he goes, I might get a cheeseburger. Yeah. In fact, I might make it a double tonight. But... don't they celebrate? Did you see the San Fran 49ers?
No.
They scored a try at one stage or a touchdown, and they sat around like they were getting a photo. They were sitting like a photo, like a team
that's
photo.
Arrogance.
Yeah, that's arrogance, but because it's in America, that's just what they do.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could say it backfired, but teams do that, whether up, down, draw, whatever. But
now, the youngest MVP winner is young Williams from the Chiefs.
Mahomes
dog. Yep. But this is Williams' winning touchdown.
There's Williams, and there it is. Kansas City will start celebrating the 50 years of waiting, the half century of what could have been.
Wow.
How good.
But the MVP, Patrick McHolm.
Pat McHolmes, 24-year-old, I think he is. Youngest
did
ever.
Did you watch any of it?
Mahomes.
You didn't watch
another
any of
game, mate.
He's a superstar.
Yeah, young.
He can play.
Got some swagger too.
Oh, fantastic, Patty boy.
Yeah, good. I just love the theatre of American sport. Like, who scores, and when you end up losing, gets a team photo in the corner, and they're all like strutting. You'd have to sit around and say you'd have to organise that.
Could you see with Port Adelaide, Charlie Dixon on a Friday night against Richmond Oval? Port Adelaide, he's just kicked his seventh. Goes into the scoreboard pocket there, and about eight Port players just sit around for a team photo.
You know what I want them to do?
Bokey's in there.
Yeah, they're all in there. Robbie Gray.
Yeah.
I want Dixon to kick a goal, and they do the, you know what the soccer players do? When they catch the fish, and they wind it in. I just want Robbie Gray just flapping in.
It's Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie and Charles. It's the Rush Hour on Triple M with Bernie and Charles.
This is the word on the street.
What's the word on the street?
Okay. Got a little bit of mail regarding the Saka. Now, obviously, the Redbacks have been very disappointing the last two or three years. Jamie Siddons stood down as the head coach pre-Christmas for mental wellness and had some issues there. And hopefully, Jamie can come back for the next three or four games in the Shield program. The Strikers program the last couple of years, Dizzy's done a superb job.
Yep.
And obviously they'll be looking at everything. There must be a big overhaul in terms of where this went, because that was disappointing, the Strikers' performance. Should not have lost that game. Should be playing the Melbourne Stars this Thursday.
Should beat them.
So there needs to be some answers. I know that there is some players won't get a contract in the Strikers' program next year. There is some that they're already starting negotiations, which is very good. And there is now players that they'll be looking at to bring into that franchise. But this is more to do with the Redbacks program. I'm hearing a little bit of a whisper around the traps that if Jamie Siddons decides to step down and walk away forever, Cameron Smith, the Victorian, could be tapped and approached to take over the cricket program here in South Australia.
Okay.
Is it Cameron Smith?
It's not Cameron Smith, is it?
He's a golfer and a rugby league
What's
player.
What's Smith from bloody Victoria? The cricketer that came in our program.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, it's not Cameron.
That's good, mate. Steve Smith used to captain Australia. Jeez, what's his name?
It's not Cameron Smith.
Oh, no. The Victorian that played for the Renegades and the Melbourne Stars.
Yeah. No,
that's Smith that played for us for two games.
Oh, Cameron White.
Cameron White.
Oh, no.
You idiot.
Oh, God.
I'm fatigued. I played golf today again. So
I couldn't even pick up what you were trying to say there because I'm thinking Smith.
Cameron White.
Smith. Cameron White.
Sorry, Smitty. Oh, I was reading about him the other day and I must have had him in the in my psyche. Oh, you tweet. I apologise, family.
Do you mean Steve Smith? Brilliant.
No, it's Cameron White. All right.
Actually, is a few
this
Cameron
is my eighth
Smith.
Day in a row on radio.
It is.
And you know what I'm like?
It's an incredible effort. It's
with fatigue syndrome.
Human endurance, yeah.
But anyway, that's the whisper, Byrne. And I reckon he's got a great cricket brain, very much respected by his peers.
Yep.
And I think he'd be a fantastic replacement for Jamie Siddons if he decides to step down and move away from cricket.
That's a good call. He played. He represented Australia at each level in Test cricket, One Day cricket, and T20, and he's captained a few T20 sides.
Mm.
And very good, the Bear. So that's
the Bear.
I like the mail.
Thank you, mate.
You probably should focus on his getting his name right first when you drop mail. But I do like it. Go have a sleep, mate. Have a coffee.
I got to ice up.
Speaking of another Cameron, you've got some thoughts on another Cameron who could have an influence here in South Australia.
No. Callum Ferguson.
That's close to Cameron.
Yes. Callum Ferguson. I think it's time we bring him back to captain our Strikers program next year.
Well, I'm serious.
What
good
a great
season.
Job he's done with that Sydney Thunder program.
Yep. Not just with the bat. His decisions are in crucial moments throughout the whole year.
How good was he the other night against us?
He's run out. He ran.
Yeah, but he was calm and he's calculated with his positions and changing fields and bowling changes. Mate, why not bring him back home?
Never looks flustered, does he? How did he get away?
Well, that's a good question.
I don't know.
Get
him back. I'm with you. Get him back.
So you don't mind Cameron Wright? What? Tick him off?
Yeah, he's good. Okay. Very good.
So there you go. This is a couple of little bits of intel regarding the SACA program, which will need a massive overhaul.
Yeah, well, it's been down for too long.
It was too long.
Sheffield Shield,
correct.
Especially. Like, we've been very, very poor for a long time. We won our first game for how many days?
Yeah, that was under Greg Blewett. Yeah, Blewett texted me just before. Don't forget to mention me.
Well, you did. You
that was the Rush Hour with Bernie and Jars and Cameron Smith.
The Rush Hour with Jars and Louie for the Bridgeway Hotel with a huge 7-metre screen you'll never want to leave. Make your way to the Bridgeway.